Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel, 2-3. We had said in the previous Mishnah the conditions a person needs to undertake formally, the pashtus, to become a ne'eman, believed to, when you purchase produce from him, that he's taking his tithes properly, as opposed to an amaretz. So, like, we're taking now a total detour, a total side points, excursus to discuss. There's another similar thing, which is if you want to be in the in club when it comes to Tuma and Tahara and trusted, that's called a chaver, not a ne'eman, but a chaver, a friend. So then we're going to say what are the conditions to enter that, you know, prestigious halachic elite club. I saw, by the way, in the Yerushalmi, like, I'll get there in a second, but not everyone did it, that's all I can say, but like background now. So this is how to be a chaver, what it takes to be a chaver, which means that you're believed, that you're trusted, that you keep the laws of Tuma and Tahara carefully. Now that is nogea to your clothing, your food, your utensils, everything, your household equipment, everything. So if you're not a chaver, people will be afraid of you. In terms of the chaverim will be afraid of you because you're going to be matam everything. Now, normally the din is that the only things that need food that needs to be kept tahor is kachem, that's the highest standard. We said you can become a revi. Then truma becomes a shlishi. Then meiser sheni, which can become a... Maizer sheni can become a sheni to tumah. So that's not like all food, but we have to eat it b'tahara anyways. Right? That's all that there is. I guess if you want to be really pedantic, you can say this truma and truma's maizer. It's the same thing. But so those three things are the only things that are have to be kept la'alacha, kept tahor. There's a machlokas tanaim if there's a mitzvah to keep all peros eretz Israel tahor. As it happens, this mission is for sort of extraneous reasons, I mean not essential reasons, happens to go on like that Tana. Now, the mission is holding all together that it's a mitzvah to, you have to keep Paris Veritzel Tahor. But that don't get, that's just a technical point that I'm saying. But the main point is the mission is saying despite the fact that you don't have to keep things Tahor, even if so, you still Chaverim are taking upon themselves to keep things Tahor. So then you have to, they have to meet certain criteria. Okay? Now unlike the previous, we said in the previous mission, we talked about a ne'eman. So we said you have to take, you know, you have to take a stand in front of three people and say you're committing to be a ne'eman and you're in. It's more complicated when it comes to being a chaver. The reason why, we actually, I'm speaking out, there was a machlokas achron within Tiferes around the Chazon Ish if you need a 30-day trial period. But here, everyone agrees by a chaver, you need to have a 30-day trial period. There's no, you have to like. The way the Gemara describes it in the Yerushalmi is like they teach him one step at a time. First, he gets used to keeping his hands clean. Like they get, it literally says give him his wings, which is interesting because it says that when you wash your hands, so put your hands up like this. Keep, so then they say it looks like wings. Anyways, but that's a slide point. But the point is that it's very complicated. Lots of tumah and tahara, and therefore they have to induct in, and that will take. At least 30 days to get used to it. So you have to take a Kabbalah in front of everyone. In the previous Mishnah, we said that a Talmud Chacham is in automatically. You can trust Talmud Chacham to take up brushes. It's a machlokas in the Bavli, if yes or no. But the Yerushalmi says clearly that if you Talmud Chacham doesn't help you, and that's actually how the Rambam paskens. So we don't care if you're Talmud Chacham, and the Yerushalmi brings, I forgot who it was, maybe Rabbi Yehuda, whoever it was, says, yeah, it's a good thing you don't trust every time Chacham because I'm not one. I'm not a chaver, and he was whoever he was, some big Gemara or other. I forgot who he was. So you have to essentially first take on a chaver. First takes on to be a ne'eman. Gets, you know, that's standard, that's baseline, and we're assuming he does the stuff for the previous Mishnah. But then he gets in front of three, if he wants to, gets in front of three chaverim and makes a formal commitment that I will keep the laws of chaverus, the tumah tahara, and this is what I'm going to do. So then the Mishnah will list the minimum requirements what he has to commit to do. Just as like another side point, sometimes you will see the term chaver used referring to someone who keeps the hafrashas properly. There's actually mishnayos like that, but don't get bogged down. It's a borrowed term. The technical term a ne'eman is hafrashas, a chaver is someone who keeps tumah tahara. That's normal usage. There is sometimes it's used in a chazal instead of using the word chaver, they use the word aparush. Aparush means like someone who's like precious, he's separated. It means the same thing. So aparush technically terms in the mishnayos. And in the Gemara even is referring to someone who's a chaver who keeps tumah tahara carefully. Last thing I want to.
Is that the same parish as the Prushim?
Well, like borrowed terms, you know. It's like, yeah, but The proper technical use is chaver. Prushim like are like, you know, but the borrowing of it. Just like and same way, so to speak, that a chassid is a technical term, so to speak, but like chassidim borrowed the term, you know, saying that same thing is prushim. They took like the sound of that one and they took it. Just one last piece of introduction, which is even a chaver who was tame would not have any problem. Like he would then not keep the laws of Tumat Zara because he's kidding, he's tame anyways. The point is when he's tougher. So in other words, like this: a chaver has no problem who's tame eating tame food. That's not obviously that's ridiculous. He's already tame. But the point is, if he's not tame, then he has to keep things, the following things, properly. So first it says, Hamakabla lavlios chaver. If a person now wants to formally accept upon himself, I guess we said in front of a basin of three, to be a chaver and be in the club. Eino mocher, these are the rules what he has to comply with. First of all, eino mocher la ma'aretz lach v'yavish. He cannot even sell produce to an ma'aretz, whether lach or yavish. Lach means that it's roy l'makabal tuma. So it means it got, even if it's dry, forget, not liquid. Lach means wet, but the point is, it need not be moist, literally. Could be, he's got wheat, which after he harvested it, he let it get wet. And they dried it. But the point is, once it's been wet, but any of those seven mashkim, you know, the yad, shaf, adam, yain, dvash, shemen, chalav, tal, adam, and mayim, those seven, if it gets wet on purpose, that's now mukhshir, ready to be makam batuma, that's like lach, and now it can become tummy anytime. So, and even yavesh means it never got wet yet. So in other words, you're selling him something that's impervious to tuma. In other words, speaking it out, if you have a piece of wheat, whatever, and you take a dead rat and touch it together, like nothing, the tumor doesn't transfer. The wheat has to first be ready to makabel tumah. Okay, so point is you can't sell amaretz either of those two things. Now this is the side point about the tana here is focused on the fact that you, since you're not allowed to let eretz yisrael peres become tumah, you can't give it to an amaretz. But yeah, that's a side point. Veino lokeach meno lach. He also says you can't purchase lach from a Amaretz. So this would be true for everybody, even if you don't hold it about the Paris of Eretz Yisrael being tower. Any chaver has to do this. Point is like this: he could buy yavesh, but he can't buy lach. In other words, if a Amaretz sells him wheat and says this wheat never got wet, it's never been wet, he's believed. He can buy yavesh from Amaretz. It'll be demai, blah blah blah. But the point is, in terms of tumantar, not a problem. But if it's lach, if it had been wet, so the Amaretz is believed to say whether it had or hadn't yet become wet, but is not believed to say it's still tahor. In other words, we don't assume that Amaretz is going to lie to him. So as a matter of fact, he can say, have you managed to get this, have you kept this thing dry? He can say, yes, I have. But if he says, but don't worry, I may turn to the lie to get tahor. We don't trust Amaretzim to know the laws of Tumatara to keep things tahor. So as a matter of fact, we believe him. If it's Yavish, if it's Lach, he can't buy it anymore from the Amaretz. Ve'eno lokeach meno Lach. Oh, sorry, I said that already. I'm sorry. The Eino Misareach Eitel Amaretz. He also won't lodge by an Amaretz. We told him in the previous mission. Then previous mission, we limited that not to sleeping, but actually just eating. He said he wouldn't eat in the house of an Amaretz, even if he would tithe properly. Here, the Mishnah means just lodging. All it goes without saying. He's not going to eat the Amaretz's food. It's a cover. But the point is that he won't even stay in the guy's house because Tuma is, you know, everywhere. We're in Amaretz's house. This wouldn't apply to someone who's tame. In other words, a tame chaver could stay over at his friend Amaretz's house. Couldn't eat there, but he could stay over there. But once he's tahor, he can't say, I'm just careful not to touch anything over there. Can't do that. So if he's tahor, can't even hang out in the house with a guy. V'lo ma'archo etzla buksuso. And he also can't host his friend the Amaretz in his house, the chaver's house, if the Amaretz is wearing his clothing. The reason why is because a person's clothing is potentially more tumma spreading than his flesh. First of all, if a woman who's a nida sits on the guy's clothing, then already it becomes tumma's medrash, which is like the whole, like all the clothing that she sat on, even if it's like doesn't come directly in touch with it, all becomes tummy underneath her, mishkav moshav, all becomes tummy. On top of that, it's easy to avoid someone's skin, like just don't touch them, but like their clothes move around, you can like brush up against them. So if the guy had garment that the woman had sat on, the whole thing's tummy, and like he was in his house, it's hard to avoid him touching you, and it's, you know, none of brushing up against his clothing, and therefore, if you want to have an amaretz at your house and you're a chaver, you need to give him a robe as he comes to the door to hang out at the spa with you. Can't wear his own clothing, I'm saying Spock is wearing a robe. Okay, now that's that. So that's the Tana Kama, and that's the din. Those are the rules. But Rabbi Yehuda says, wait a second. If you want to get in the, you know, in the social elite top of the halachic pile, Chaverim, he wants more, all sorts of other restrictions put on these people that indicate, you know, like a good halachic standing. First of all, afalo yigadol behemadaka. If he can't raise behemadaka, small animals. That means like sheep and goats. The reason why is because sheep and goats invariably wander around and eat other people's grass. It's hard to keep them under close rein. They move around as they go and, you know, as you feed them. And therefore, like basically, we said anyone who is begadol behemadaka, who grows, you know, who raises small animals, is basically assumed to be a thief. Right? Everyone knows. My kids came up with the pictures of the famous Rashi bringing it down, the Medrash, that Avram kept his, you know, animals muzzled and Lot didn't. Yeah. So the point is that, you know, that you can't keep these things under control. They walk around and bite things that don't belong to them. So if you grow these animals, you're basically a thief and you're out of the club. Quit Rabbi Yehuda. V'loye paratz benadarim v'schok. You can't be like, you know, I don't know how to translate idiomatically. Paratz means like breakthrough, like, and benadar, like nadarim are vows and schok is joking around. Point is, he can't be given to making nadarim and goofing around. If he's like a lightweight, a jokester, or he just, you know, makes nadarim all the time. Not nadarim to bring karbanos, but nadarim like, you know, whatever. You know, I'm not gonna eat sugar for the whole week, and if I do, blah blah blah, like that kind of stuff. We don't trust him. He's obviously gonna setting himself up for a fall, and that means he's not a serious Yerushalayim guy. Or if his parts with schok is a goof off, he's not a heavyweight, and therefore he's not in the club. Rav Yehuda says he can't even become tummy on purpose. He can't even let himself get tummy. He has to steer clear of Tumas Mace. I'm not talking about someone where no one's there to bury him, but if just to, you know, a friend of his, whatever it is, you know, whatever, here someone in the yeshiva died, he can't go to the funeral because then he'll become tummy. The reason why is because Tumas Mace is hard to get rid of. It's a balagan, you have to get mechata, it's not always available, 7 days. So he said, if the guy's so casual about becoming tummy and like to get out of it so difficult, we don't trust him to be a chaver, to be tower the rest of the time. It's only Tumas Mace, not other kind of Tumas. U'mashamash beis midrash, he has to also be like a regular guy in the beis midrash. Different pshatim here, either it means like he has to learn Gemara, or he has to be mashamash tamid chacham to understand how the principle behind things, or someone literally he has to just essentially like be involved with tamid chacham and serving them. Point is, he has to really be part of that, the in club, or he's not in the in club. Now, amr lo, but the rabbi said, no way, lo bo elo b'klal, these things don't enter into the category. In other words, those are nice things to do if you want to be, you know, a heavyweight, but those are beyond the purview of what it means to become a chaver. We don't make extraneous rules. If you give the rules of Tumah Taharah, we can trust you. The first set of laws, you're good and you're a chaver, even without those things. Yeah.
Was this the normal?